we'll turn this over to Aries, our missionary, our friend, our hero. We admire the tremendous outreach that he has, and I'm sure he's going to have his wife come sing a solo. Maybe not. All right, come share with us.
If she's going to sing. I'm just kidding.
Share about the work, and sure. Then preach to us if you're,
sure.
If you're up to it.
Okay, good evening. Thank you so much for partnership for so many years in reaching out the lost souls in the Philippines. And thank you so much for all the prayers and help. And of course, thank you so much, Pastor Jack, for allowing us to come tonight. So you're one of the kind and coolest pastor that I ever met here in America. So thank you so much, though it's a short notice, but still, you allowed us to come tonight. And this presentation that I'm going to show you tonight is the fruit of your ministry in the Philippines. So since you are our partners, this is the extension of Open Door Baptist Church in our country. And every soul who got saved, life that has been changed, you are a part of it. So it was your investment in heaven. I hope this presentation will be a blessing to each and every one of you. And by the way, this is my family. Oh, this is the map of the Philippines, sorry. And that's where we came from, Nueva Ecija, in Luzon. So now, based on our statistic, 2017, I think Philippines has more than 105 million people. So all over the Philippines. Small island, but overpopulated. So our place is called Zion City of Muñoz. We have 86,000 people, and we are the only Baptist church in that place. So I started a work there in the year 2000. So the second church that I started. So now this is my family, Rachel, my wife, then Naomi, the eldest. She is 15, she is in grade 10. And James is in grade 5, he is 10. So Naomi is a consistent honor student in science high school. Yeah, and James is the opposite. So boys, no. So he likes to play. So this is the latest ministry that we are doing right now, so the drug surrenderers. So 2016, we have presidential election, and our new president, the first day that he took the office of president, he declared war against illegal drugs. So he encouraged those drug dependents to surrender or they will die. So all over the Philippines, there are about close to 2 million surrenderers. And in our city, there are about 560. These are the people who surrendered voluntarily in our city. So now what I'm doing is I team up with the government organization and non-government organization in reaching out the people. So I'm working on the spiritual side. So for us to reach out these people, so they have training skills, they have livelihood programs for them, and then I'm working on their spiritual reflection. So it's so hard for me to reach out these 560. Instead, we divided them into 16 groups. So each group, we have about 50 or 45 to 50 persons. So Monday until Friday, we have 1 hour Bible study. So they have to listen. So they don't need to miss the program for their 45 days rehabilitation. So I have, I think, the youngest one is 12 years old. Wow. And the oldest is about 72 years old, drug users and pushers. And then also we have this ministry. It's about a mile from us, the public high school. So I'm teaching moral values every Friday for this high school student. And most of our young people in the church came from this public high school. So that's their notebooks that we gave to them because their teacher, their advisor, is taking their notes every time I'm teaching moral values. So she's taking the topic and the contents of our lesson. So that's part of their subject. That's me sharing the Bible to them. And also, I'm still holding and doing this police ministry in our police department. So there are about 47 policemen in our city. So every Monday after the flag raising, we have 15 minutes devotion and 5 minutes prayer time. So they appointed me as their spiritual advisor for 6 years now. So, and some of them are attending our church, and even the chief of police, he comes to our church if we have a special occasion like that. So I'm not only having a good attachment with these people or friendship with them, but our church and myself is well protected from these policemen. These are all the chief of the police in our province. So we have about 27 municipalities and 5 cities. So once a month they have this conference. So they keep asking me to pray for them before the conference and share the Bible to this chief of the police in our province. And also public elementary school ministry. So we are holding a feeding program in a village. That's the poorest village in our city. Most of these kids are poor, and sometimes they go to their school barefoot, or even did. Sometimes they have, I think, school supplies. That's why we sponsor a feeding program to them every Tuesday. So giving them noodle soup or rice soup. So you're so blessed by God here in America. You are blessed with material things, and Americans are spoiled because these kids are really poor.
Yeah.
What we're doing is once a year, we are sponsoring their Christmas program, and we're giving small gifts for them. At least we could make them happy. That's why every time we have vacation Bible school, we don't have a problem to get kids or to teach kids, because we have these kids in our program. Wow. And also the jail ministry. So every Thursday, local jail in the Philippines, they don't have fund for them, especially for the food. So sad that if they don't have a visitor, they don't have a food. So they will end in a day empty stomach. So I asked our church to give me some bread and biscuits, so that every time I go there, I'm giving them bread and biscuits. And they're so happy, and they're so, clapping their hands. I don't know why. Maybe because of the Bible or because of the food that I'm giving to them. And also the social welfare beneficiaries. So our government, they don't want to tolerate the people who are in social welfare doing nothing. So instead, we form a program. They made a program. They call it Family Development Session Program. So we're teaching them how to become, independent, self-reliance, having moral values, honesty, and faith in God. So I asked our city government if I could use the Bible as the reference, because they don't pay me. It's a voluntary work. All of this are voluntary work. So, and they said yes, since I'm doing this for about 4.5 years now. So, and the good part of this social welfare is I'm responsible for their attendance every month. So I'm teaching 4 villages, and each village they have 100 to 110 families, members of social welfare. So the good part of that is their monthly allowance depend on their attendance. So if they're absent, then, meaning to say, their allowance will be deducted. So they have no choice but to listen and sit down and go there every time we have this family development session. So, but a lot of them are leaving the social welfare. Why? Because after they heard the gospel, they got saved, and then they're looking for a job so that they will leave this social welfare group. And that's a good part of that, because we're encouraging not to depend on the government.
Yeah.
So we are encouraging them to stand on their own feet, find a job, and live with the principle in life that would help them, and that would also help them to get closer to God. So, but these people are really poor. Probably they are earning $100 a month. And most of them are farmers who doesn't own the land, but they work for the landowners. And these are the local missionaries that we support. So we are supporting 12 local missionaries who started churches in different places in the Philippines, and 8 of them came from our church. And the reason why we're here, we grabbed the opportunity because I was invited to preach in a mission conference, and then also took the opportunity to help this pastor, Pastor Tito Bolis. We bought a piece of land for them last April, and we are helping him to build a church building, and we're raising $10,000 for them. So hopefully before we go back to the Philippines, we could reach our goal and start their own church building. So out of 8 missionaries that we sent out, 4 of them have already their own church building. And it was a blessing. Because in the Philippines, every month we have 3 typhoons. Not typhoons, but strong typhoons. So it's no longer useful if we'll have church building made of bamboo tree and made of grass, because it will be swept away every time we have 240 miles per hour typhoon. So, and thank you so much. And this is the product of your ministry in the Philippines. This is the extension of Open Door Baptist Church. This is the product of your prayers and help. And you may not be able to go to the Philippines and see these people and see the Lord's work, but when we get to heaven, you will see a lot of them. You will see them, and they will shake hands with you and say thank you for helping us and praying for us, reaching out their souls. So God bless you, and thank you very much.
That is just amazing. Yeah. You can't do most of that in the U.S. It's illegal.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's our opportunity in the Philippines, because you cannot do that here in America. And so sad. Now in the Philippines, it's like we have a new president. And I don't know if it's our advantage, because the Catholic priests are mad with him, so they don't like him, and even the media. So instead, he asked the pastors to partner with them, especially to the government organization, so that we could have Bible study with them. So,
Duterte, right?
Yeah, Duterte. You know him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe you heard a lot of things about him because of his words every time he, you know, in the media or in television. So he will say anything that he wants to say, you know. So that's it. But his principle is more on good governance. He is trying to eliminate corruption and abuse of power and drugs in the Philippines. Because we never realized that it was one of the main problem in the Philippines. So by the time he was elected as the president, so he was able to destroy 5 major drug laboratories in the Philippines.
Wow.
One of the drug laboratories inside the jail, the state jail or the Philippine National Jail. So could you imagine there's a drug laboratory inside the jail? And we didn't even know that. And the other one is the 2 ships on the Visayas Island. It's floating in the sea, and we never thought that those 2 ships were drug laboratories also. So, and so sad, but we're so happy. At least little by little, he's trying his best to crack down the drug problems in the Philippines. And then we have curfew for the minors, and then no more smoking in public places. No more, you know, no more drinking liquor outside your house. So we like that, and it's like crime rate in the Philippines, especially in Manila, the capital city of the Philippines, is slowing down. And then we have war down south where the Muslims live. It lasted 6 months because it was took over by the ISIS, and the mayor is so, he had tolerated those ISIS group for money. And then our president, he destroyed the whole city, including the ISIS. And we were able to take control of that city. So I hope that this privilege and opportunities that we have, especially pastors, will continue. But sad to say, we have only 1 term for the president for 6 years. And after that, another election. We wish that he will be reelected. But the problem is he have only 1 term. So, but pray for us. So for now, we are enjoying the freedom that we have to share the gospel to every Filipinos, and also not only for the Filipinos, but also for the government organizations or offices. Okay? And okay, I'll be preaching the Word of God, so I promise I won't keep you long. And if you have your Bible, please turn in the book of John, chapter 5. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1 down to 8. Okay, the Bible says in John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful time that we have to study your word. I pray, Father, that may you help me, give me wisdom that I need as I preach your word. And we're praying that may the Holy Spirit speak into our hearts tonight and bless us, every one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, this is the story about Jesus Christ and the impotent man, but I will not go into the details of the story here. But I will focus to the man who had an infirmity for 38 years. And as we can see here, according to verse 3, so a lot of people are great. Multitude of people who have different health issues wanted to be made whole. According to verse 3, in this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. So it's all about people who are sick and looking for healing. And one of them is a man who is crippled for 38 years. And the pool of Bethesda has a strong attraction for them. All of them, why? Because every time after the troubling of the water, the first man who stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So that's the reason why a lot of sick people are going to that place, because they want to be healed. They wanted to be healed. And from there, we can see here, one of them is a man who had an infirmity for 38 years. And according to verse 3 and 4, his problem is what? He was there. His life is stagnant. Why? Because for many, many years, he was there waiting, watching, and hoping that he will get well. But for many years, nothing happened. And he became frustrated and disappointed. According to this, the first thing that we can see here, the crippled man, he was there. You know what? And he sit on his bed, and for 38 years in his life, it became his way of life, and his life is miserable and stagnant. Could you imagine, you know what, for 38 years, you are an impotent man. You can't do nothing. So every time, you know, and you're just waiting something that will happen that will change your life. And this is his case. And you know what, this is an illustration also of a lost sinner. You know what, we might not be crippled physically, but spiritually, we are crippled. So, no direction. Life is stagnant. World has a great attraction of our lives. And what a picture of a lost sinner before God. Unsaved people who are really spiritually crippled. They cannot pray to God. They cannot serve God. They cannot worship the Lord. And they are helpless in a spiritual sense. Like this crippled man. But you know what, my friend? I still remember, you know, that was a long time ago, 1990. So, as you notice, I I'm getting old. The last time I was here, I was not wearing reading glass. And tonight, I'm reading one. You know, I have one. I still remember way back 1990. And I don't know, I was just, you know, a student studying engineering. And I have a classmate, and we became friends. And he was a Christian. And he keeps inviting me to come to his church. And I always tell him, I am a Christian, I have my religion, and I always tell him that my religion is good and my religion will take me to heaven. And he didn't say anything. He just kept inviting me. So I think every week, every month, he's inviting me to come. And then one time, because I was tired of his invitation, I told him, okay, I'll go with you, but just once for the sake of our friendship, and after that, he stopped bothering me. So and then I went with him. That was their prayer meeting. And of course, it's a Wednesday night, and that's the first time that I attended a Christian church, a Baptist church. And I looked to their pastor, and I was thinking, I hope the wind will not blow, because their pastor will be blown away, because he was so skinny, skinnier than me. But he opened up his Bible, and he shared about John 3:16. And then for the first time in my life, I heard about Jesus Christ who died on the cross. I heard about heaven and hell. So I was humiliated by the word of God, because I'm a lost sinner and I need Christ as my personal Savior. So after the message, I found myself on the altar kneeling, and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Amen. That was February 11, 1990, 7:30 in the evening. And since then, my life has been changed. God called me in the ministry. And then, until now, we're still being God, in spite of many challenges, problems, needs. Still, God is faithful. He never leave us nor forsake us. And like this man, he was so lonely, helpless, waiting for something that will happen, that will change his life forever. But as we can see here, according to verse 4, when he heard that Jesus... Chapter 5, in verse 5, and a certain man was there which had infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Not only we can see here the crippled man, but also the compassionate Messiah. Why? The Lord Jesus Christ asked him, Do you want to get well? That's what he asked from him. Do you want to get well? And as we can see here, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ reached out for him. Among many sick people, Jesus does not help him to get into the pool, but he comes to him on his bed. And he did not say, "Keep coming here, because someday you will make in time." No. Jesus looked beyond his problem and saw his condition. And Jesus did not see what he was, but what he could be. And he did not say to the crippled man, "Next time, you'll get healed, and somebody will help you." But you know what? When he asked him, "Do you get well?" And he answered, "Sir, I have no man." I have no man. That's the sad answer. I don't know if it's an excuse or an alibi, or it's like a desperate answer from his question. One of the loneliest and hardest situations in life is being alone in times of your problems and needs, because nobody cares. His loved ones maybe are tired of carrying him. Maybe his friends are tired of helping him. And that is the reason why he answered, "Sir, I have no man." Every time the water was troubled, then I really want to get in there, but somebody stepped it before me. So there's a problem. And he can't do anything about that, because he was crippled. And maybe the fastest is the first one who can come to the pool. But you know what, my friend? Here, the Lord reached out for him. And the good thing is what? We as Christians, like what he said, "I have no man." We can reach out for those people who are in need, right? Maybe we are that man that he is looking for, who is willing to help the needy. Maybe we are the man that he is talking about that he needs. We can be that man who is willing to sacrifice a little bit to give to the less fortunate. And we can be that man who is willing to share Jesus to the lost. Maybe we are that man in his condition. But you know what? The Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the best thing that we can offer to the people today, especially to the lost, is salvation. Because Jesus came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And then not only Jesus reached out for him, but also Jesus reformed him physically. When he said, "Rise up, take up thy bed, and walk." What we can see here? The Lord's power have shown here that he is in control and he is in charge of everything. And by the time he told him, "Rise up, take up thy bed," and then he was healed. And that's a good thing of it, my friend. Like Jesus, you know, he knows all the things we have done, yet he loved us and died for us and he saved us. He sees us not as we are in sin, but as we can be through his life-changing blood. And that's a good part of that, my friend. And not only that, you know, I was so thankful because I'm nothing in the sight of God. So I don't have anything. I don't have the talent. And I'm a sinner. But God is so patient to me. And he sees me not for who I am, but for my potential, because my insufficiency, God is sufficient. And the good thing is, God work on us to make us who we are. That is why we should have patience with one another, right? Because the Lord Jesus continues molding and shaping our lives. When God saved us, he did not see you as filthy sinner you were. He saw that you will be. Thou shalt be. So when someone does not like us, who we are, so ask them to be patient because God is not finished. God is not finished with us yet. And he's still working in us. And just, you know, wait. Because someday, no matter how, you know, no matter what happened, still God is shaping and molding our lives in order for us to be what he wants us to be. And the good part of it, my friend, is he reached out for us, and he reformed us spiritually. Not physically, but spiritually. He's still working in us. And that's the best thing in our lives, my friend. And because God is not looking in our outward appearance, but God is looking in our inward appearance. Like this man, physically, God reformed him. He healed him. In our spiritual sense, God saved us. And every day, every month, every year, God is reforming our inner being. So be patient. Nobody's perfect, but God is working in our lives and shaping us and molding us so that we would be a good Christian in his sight. I hope that this message will encourage every one of us. And let me tell you this, or ask you a question like this. Are we okay? Like this crippled man, he wasn't okay. He was not okay physically. That's why when the Lord Jesus Christ asked him, "Do you want to get well?" He answered him, "I have no man." But how about us? Are we okay? But no matter what, no matter how big is our needs or problems, God is able. And God has always the answer. And God will meet us right there where we are standing. So maybe tonight we're not okay financially. Maybe tonight we are not okay spiritually. Maybe tonight we are okay mentally and socially and emotionally. But bring all these things to Jesus and ask him for help. Because people cannot help us. Maybe they have some limitations or they have limited resources. But only Jesus can satisfy our soul. So thank you and God bless you.